This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. For now, though, we're turning our attention to geopolitics in Central Asia. Now, the new year began with turbulence in Kazakhstan after street protests erupted in response to rising gas prices. The protests began peacefully in the city of Zhanaozen on New Year's Day and rapidly spread throughout the country. In some places, though, such as in Almaty, the main city, the protests turned violent last Wednesday with people storming buildings as well as engaging in looting and vandalizing.
In response, the government declared a state of emergency, imposed internet blackouts, and also authorized security forces to use lethal force on protesters. So the President Tokayev even described protesters as armed bandits and terrorists without providing evidence. So far, 6,000 people have reportedly been arrested and 164 people have been killed.
Additionally, President Tokayev asked for help from the Collective Security Treaty Organization, or CSTO. This is a regional defense bloc led by Russia. Some 2,500 troops arrived in Kazakhstan last week. So how did the former Soviet colony known for authoritarian leadership come to this point? To make sense of the situation in Kazakhstan, we speak to Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the Middle East Institute of the National University of Singapore. James, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, the street protests were initially sparked by a rise in liquefied petroleum gas prices due to the withdrawal of government subsidies. The government has since walked back on gas price increases, but that hasn't quelled the unrest. What would you say is the root of public discontent right now?
I think we've got to be very precise in terms of what is happening in Kazakhstan. What we saw were two things. Initially, exclusively a protest that started off with protest against the rise in LPG, liquefied petroleum prices. And we then saw a second development, which was an internal power struggle take place. And that internal power struggle has come to overshadow the initial protest, which moved from the price issue to much broader issues and widespread discontent over quite a number of years already about corruption in Kazakhstan, and in the last 3 years, the failure of the President Tokayev, the current president, to follow up on reforms that he had promised.
So, James, can you give us some color on this thing that you mentioned, which is the internal power struggle? I mean, what do we know about it?
Well, we're limited by the fact that communications with Kazakhstan have been and are complicated. The internet was down for quite some time. Phone lines, people were very hard to reach. And people are reluctant to talk at the moment because you've got a crackdown going on. What we know is that allegedly 164 people were killed, among them roughly two dozen security personnel. So there clearly was a degree of violence, and in that power struggle, that's where the violence really took place rather than in the protest itself, even though the protesters and the perpetrators of the violence are deliberately being thrown into one group by the government in a bid to actually criminalize what was legitimate political protest. And what is behind the power struggle is Kazakhstan was governed for the whole period of its independence since 1991 and the breakup of the Soviet Union by the country's former Soviet Communist Party boss, Nursultan Nazarbayev. He stepped down 3 years ago, appointed his own successor, President Tokayev, retained his position as head of the National Security Council, and clearly had a grip on power through various people in powerful positions, including as head of national security under the new president. Those positions have now been eliminated. Nursultan has been removed from the National Security Council. People have been removed. One of them, the most top, has been charged with treason.
One of the things I'm scratching my head over, James, is why the Kazakh president has called on outside troops from the Collective Security Treaty Organization to respond to protests. We know the CSTO is led by Russia, but why have they been invited in light of historical relations between Kazakhstan and Russia, which tend to be uneasy?
I think that, first of all, clearly the security units had a problem. If they've suffered 18 people killed and some 700 security personnel wounded, they had a really serious fight on their hands. And those are high numbers for casualties. And so that's probably the reason why Tokayev felt that he needed outside help, and he needed it quickly. Since things were really getting out of control. The turn to Russia is very clearly, I think, designed to do two things. One is, it's a choice. It was Russia, it was not China. And there is a difference in the policies and the concerns that the Russians and the Chinese have. And you've had a similar Ukraine-like situation building up, not immediately, but building up over a number of years with regard to the relationship between Russia and Kazakhstan. And this is speculation, but what you may very well see, that this was a way of fending it off, that indeed Russian troops primarily Russian troops were brought in to quell the unrest, help restore order, may be there for a number of weeks, and then withdraw. But the relationship between Russia and Kazakhstan will have changed, and Kazakh will have compromised de facto, not de jure, some of its independence.
How does the unrest in Kazakhstan affect regional geopolitics?
I think it's serious. I think it does. First of all, look at the region. You've had, I think it was last year, serious protests in Kyrgyzstan. You have the crisis in Ukraine at the moment. You have major issues and a crackdown in Belarus. And now you have Kazakhstan. So, with other words, across the realm of the former Soviet Union, things are very volatile. And there's clearly a push for democracy, not a push that Putin, the Russian president, wants to see, nor necessarily one that he can afford, given his own crackdown at home. There are some analysts who will argue, and there may be some merit to that, that what Kazakhstan has changed is the way autocrats, certainly in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, may decide to retire. So, with other words, Putin's term is up, I think, in 2024. The option to follow what Nazarbayev did, which is appoint your own successor, retain a key government function, and allow for a new era under your control to develop. That option may not look as good anymore after what's happened to Putin, for himself, after what's happened in Kazakhstan, and it may not look good to other autocrats.
James, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the Middle East Institute of the National University of Singapore, giving us a better understanding of what's happening in Kazakhstan. It's a very complex situation with immense geopolitical repercussions, especially for Russia. I think this is something we definitely need to keep an eye on as the situation unfolds. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.